This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in the Psalter with Psalms 53 through 55. The fool says, "There is no God. The Lord upholds my life. My heart is in anguish, but it is you." And cast your burden on the Lord. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your 15-minute daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere.
I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Sanctify us in your truth.
Your word is truth.
From the rising of the sun to its setting,
the name of the Lord is to be praised.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Galatians chapter 3. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. You shall have no other gods.
You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
Small Catechism, page 325. How can water do such great things?
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
What do you need in order to live? Air, food, the internet, water. You certainly need water. Water is necessary for life. In fact, it's so necessary that when scientists start to look at a planet to see if maybe there's life out there, almost the first thing they do is to investigate whether there's water, past or present. No water, no life. With water, well, who knows? So you need water to live. Your body is about 60% water. So you take away water, and you're not going to last very long. 3-4 days, and that's about it. You're gone. You need water. But water can't do everything. You actually do need air and food. Still not sure about the internet. But you need clothing and shelter and a whole lot more. You need all of that in order really to live. And yet, water can't do everything. Add all of those other things, and they can't do everything either. So, in spite of it all, the necessities of life don't bring life. Water may be necessary, but it's not sufficient. If you want to live, really live, and not die, well, you need something more than water. And this brings us to today's catechism lesson. Baptism. Not just water, but a whole lot more. So what is this more that baptism brings? What is this more that turns water into a sacrament? The more that brings eternal life? Well, Luther tells us, it is the Word of God in and with the water that does such great things. The Word of God. I mean, after all, why do we baptize in the first place? Well, Jesus said, go and baptize. That's the Word of God. So that every time we apply the water in the name of the triune God, it's really Jesus who's doing the baptism. It's His command, His word, His work. So whatever baptism does and brings, He is the one doing and bringing it. But what is that? What does God's word tell us that God is doing and bringing in baptism? Well, how much time do we have? Answer, not enough to mention and meditate upon all the blessings of baptism that the Word of God puts in and with the water. So we're going to talk just about a few of them. And why don't we begin with Martin Luther's favorite passage about the blessings of baptism. It's the one he quotes all the time, the long ending of Mark, where Jesus says, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved." Saved. Saved from what? Well, let's begin with your sins. Now, we are modern people. We don't believe in sin. No, we don't. Maladjustments, yeah. Personality disorders, yeah. Hostile environments, yeah. And certainly victims of poverty, race, and gender, that's for sure. But sin? No, not so much. Well, modern society may take us off the hook, but our conscience won't. We are sinners. And as a matter of fact, at least once a week, we give a place for our conscience to do just that. You know what I'm talking about. Sunday morning, communion service, confession of sins, pause for just a few seconds to reflect. And that's all you need. Your conscience is right there telling you, oh yeah, you are a sinner. But God's word assures us. St. Peter, talking to the crowd at Pentecost, repent and be baptized. Be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Forgiveness. That's God's word. Baptism saves us from our sins. And not only that, baptism also saves us from death. Now, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life, because our Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with sin and death on the cross, his saving work, and baptism unites us to that work of Christ. Once more, listen to God's word. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? If we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. A resurrection like his. That's God's word. Baptism saves us from death. And if we have been saved from sin and death, well, we certainly have been saved from the devil. Because what else does the devil have besides sin and death to hold us? Nothing. Nothing at all. So when the devil comes and he's going to tempt us, or he's going to accuse us, or he's going to frighten us with death and hell, we can laugh in his face. We can say, devil, get out of here. I've been baptized. And God's word tells me that as many of you as have been baptized have put on Christ. He's my shield. He's my protection. You can't get to me because you can't get through him. God's word tells us about Jesus that he partook of flesh and blood, like us, flesh and blood, so that he might through death destroy him that has the power of death, that is the devil. Destroy. That's God's word. Baptism saves us from the devil. So God's word, command and promise, is the power of baptism. God's word does it. But how do we get it? Well, you're all good Lutherans. You know the answer to that one. By faith, and by faith alone. In every aspect of our salvation, God is the doer, and we are the recipients. Well, we do the sinning, but God does the saving. It's that simple. And you know, it's really that simple in baptism, too. Whether infant or adult, someone else does the baptizing, and we receive. Someone else pours the water and invokes the Trinity, and we simply receive. We do nothing. We believe, we accept, we trust the promises of God, but we do nothing. As a matter of fact, so great is the power of God's word in baptism that the Holy Spirit actually regenerates or creates new birth, creates faith in us through the power of that sacrament. So we do believe, but the faith with which we believe is God's gift too. And it is by faith, then, that we receive the blessings of baptism. We can't do it. The law won't let us. It condemns. But faith can do it, for it does nothing. It simply receives what God has done. In baptism, we put on Christ like a garment. And that's all then that God sees when he looks at us. Christ. Nothing but Christ. We are in him. We are one with him. We are in Jesus Christ. And that's why there's no more male or female. There's no more slave or free. There's no more Gentile or Jew. There's no more divisions of the stuff that always divides us. It's all gone. There's nothing but Christ. Christ, our Savior. And we, the communion of saints, we, the body of Christ. Christ. One last point. How long does baptism last? After all, we're baptized just once, and after that, a whole lot of bad stuff happens. And there we are, right in the middle of it. So, what is the expiration date for our baptism? How long can we depend upon it? Well, how long is God's word good for? Water evaporates. You can't depend on the water. But the word of the Lord, well, that endures forever. So you can count on your baptism because you can count on God's word. And you can count on God's word because you can count on God. Now, how's that for a whole lot more? Amen.
Amen.
And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly Father,
through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger, and I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and other evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me.
Bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.
Amen.